What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome in to the Lineup Logic Podcast, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the slate to come on FanDuel. It is Monday, March 20th. I am Sean Kane, your host, and we are back at it again. An eventful weekend, to say the least. Absolute craziness in March Madness. I hope your bracket still has some semblance of hope. I have a little bit, because I still have the Zags, I still have UNC and Kansas, but everything else, just utter destruction. So, crazy college basketball, some pretty interesting stuff on in the NBA as well. Saturday, of course, the bomb dropped that the big three are sitting against the Clippers. Oh my gosh. Of course, it just blows everyone's lineups up who has owned any share of those guys or expected that game to be competitive whatsoever. Just a disaster on that Saturday night. A couple people are hedging, being careful, following Fern's strategy. A couple people came out. You know, for me, I was lucky I dodged that bullet, but hey, not so lucky Sunday night. Ugh, gross. If you weren't in on overweight shares of that Lakers-Cavs game, then it was difficult to cash because the rest of those games were pretty lackluster, to be honest with you. Bigger news for the Lineup Logic fam here. We debuted the cheat sheet. I hope you got to see the cheat sheet on Twitter on Friday. We launched the cheat sheet in the afternoon. We updated it again on Saturday and Sunday. People were really positive response to it. Very, very exciting to see, the people really appreciating it. You know, guys, it's a really pretty cool. So for those of you who maybe just listen to the pod regularly and don't follow me on Twitter or whatever the case may be, the cheat sheet is basically a live Google Doc that that is published by myself, Josh, DFS Spectre, and DFS Kingsguard. We update it throughout the day with player news, with our favorite plays. It's a really interesting format. We go position by position, and we give our locked-in favorite stud, our favorite grout play, our favorite value option. And then we go with two other little quick things, lottery ticket and honorable mention. The lottery ticket being like a guy, hey, you can take a chance on him. There's a reason to take a chance on him here. Not sure. You know, it's not a perfect cash game play, but a lottery ticket, maybe a little bit more of a GPP, low ownership. He has a chance to do good work here. And then honorable mention, a guy that you really like, you maybe just can't quite fit in there. We give the podcast player pool. We give the information from the podcast, the lineups and everything like that. So just so you guys are aware, and I made a little post about this on Twitter. I put a post out on Fan Forecast about what it is that, how it's going to work. So the idea is that, we gave it out for free Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We wanted to get you guys aware of what it's all about. Now it's going to become something that's posted via our Patreon page, which is a way that we're fundraising for the podcast. We're growing. Now, the podcast itself is going to be daily. It's going to be free. It's going to be in all the same spots that you're normally used to. But with the rate of the way things are going, you know, things are just it's blowing up. We're really growing, and it's really because of you guys and your willingness to, you know, share your results with me and willingness to retweet. And I'm so humbled by our listeners completely. We want to kind of take this to the next level. We want to get into MLB for the summer. We want to build a website. We want to build a community. And we're going to do that via Patreon. And so if you haven't seen the video that I posted, check it out on my timeline. It's a little bit scrolled down. I pinned it up there this morning. It's kind of a preview of like what's to come. If not, nothing else, go over to patreon.com/lineuplogic. So that's patreon.com/lineuplogic. Patreon's basically like almost like a Kickstarter type thing. But the cool thing is that what you can do is you can create a pledge and people can pledge. And once you pledge, you get rewards. So if you pledge to the pod, then you get access to the cheat sheet every day. Patrons will get access to the cheat sheet every single day, and it's only $10 a month. Honestly, you're going to get 7 days a week worth of cheat sheet notes for $10 a month. That's pretty ridiculously cheap, and it'll just be $10 a month. So, hey, shout out to the four new patrons that we got this week. Absolutely, absolutely awesome already. Kenneth, Nathan, Bill, Keith, thank you guys. It really means a lot. You know, I mean, and just awesome. You know, this is going to go towards covering all of our hosting stuff, web development, all that kind of stuff. So thank you, Keith, Bill, Nathan, Kenneth. Really, really appreciate it. You guys, it means a lot to me. And hey, shout out to people cashing this weekend. Saw my buddy Paul coming through. Absolutely awesome with the late slate, getting in there and the slam, a $40, $1 entry turned into $40. That was awesome. And then, you know, some nice cash from Roger Goodell and Jay Rossi and you know, Santiago, been talking to you, man, trying to get you right. JJF, nicely done. You know, guys, I mean, we're going to keep grinding it out, man. We're going to keep building the bankroll. We're going to keep grinding it out here, figure out how to get people back in the green. And I know it was kind of a tilting week and a tilting weekend for a lot of people. You know, the LeBron thing especially was just a disaster. But, hey, we got work to do this week. Let's make sure that, you know, we're getting people on the right side of this. Tonight's slate is absolutely nuts. So in the next hour, we are going to preview the night to come. This absolutely crazy, crazy, I believe it is a 6-game slate. Yes, or 7-game slate. But like some of the juiciest competitive basketball matchups that are out there. Some really, really intense national headline type games with Washington, Boston, Golden State, OKC. Just whoo, 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 whoo. And then Denver, Houston is like, you know, the side dish there, which is ridiculous. Again, we get that rematch. Absolutely awesome night for NBA. So we are going to break that down. We'll talk spreads. We'll talk injury news. And then we'll talk a breakdown of players to target on the slate. But before we do that, let's recap the previous day's lineup. One of these nights. Okay, so Friday's lineup went pretty well. Wasn't too upset with that. Came away with some cash on the Friday lineup. You know, Josh and I broke this down. We ended up going with Tyler Ulis and Elfrid Payton. And man, gosh, they got off to such good starts. They both had like Payton had 30 points at the half. And then just didn't do anything in the second half. But man, love that. Stack that matchup against those two guys there. Giannis and got on Avery Bradley with the Isaiah Thomas news. He kind of underperformed, but you know, it was okay. You know, people, it was either him or Smart, and Smart actually overperformed him, which was a bummer. But anyway, Middleton, a late hammer there, was really nice to have in that LA game. We talked about him, you know, and TJ Warren was excellent as well. So we talked about Middleton and TJ Warren, both exceeding, both going for value, 5X at least, TJ Warren going above 5X. Jimmy Butler, I got on Butler just because I had the money. You know, and I thought it was a really nice price, just price play. And he went for 45. He just got above 5X, which is really nice. Marquise Chris and Nico Mirotic playing really well. And then, God, Nerlens Noel got off to a great start. 18 first half points against Philadelphia. But then, for whatever reason, Dallas gets absolutely destroyed by Philadelphia in the second half. And they couldn't do anything. So Nerlens doesn't even touch the floor after the third quarter, really. Nice, you know, I mean, pretty much nailed value right here, coming in a night that was a little bit crazy for cash lines. Not too high scoring anywhere. But a really nice night at about 3:01, which, you know, took me all the way up into doubles. So, you know, pretty pleased with that as a cash lineup coming away with a good Friday. You know, a good lineup. I think the thing, guys, you know, strategically, you know, thinking about Saturday as well, strategically, this late news stuff, there's two ways to see it, okay? There's two ways to see all this late news stuff, because I was thinking about the LeBron bomb on Saturday night. There's two ways. One is you can fade it completely and just get away from it and, you know what, and say it's too risky, okay? Makes sense. You know, teams that are in the playoff hunt that don't, that have a history of resting guys, that have a history of late scratches, then you have to, you know, you can fade those teams completely. Teams like Cleveland. I mean, you know, they're one of the primary people that have no problem saying you're sitting, you're resting. Teams like the Spurs, you know, this is a good time to start to get away from Kawhi. Pop's not going to push it. I suffered that last night. I mean, they go up by 15 in the second half and he doesn't touch the floor. I mean, he shoots poorly and then he doesn't touch the floor basically throughout, you know, past the third quarter. Pop just takes him out. It's fine with it. You know, I mean, so you can fade those guys completely, or you can try, you know, last night was an example of the reverse of it. Nobody is on Kyrie because of the increased price, even though the matchup is so juicy, because if there's no news whether or not he's going to play. So everybody fades Kyrie. You take a little bit of a risk and all of a sudden you get Kyrie, and Paul did this, you know, Kyrie at 8% in the slam, 50 points. There's risk. It's a calculated risk, but it's not necessarily something that you need to fade completely. You just have to be cautious about it. And if you're hedging, then you don't want to be overexposed to it. You know, 100% of lineups, that's a little bit risky, you know, if you got a late game. So keep your eye on it. It's something to think about. Down the stretch here, teams that are in the playoffs, they're going to start to rest these guys. They're not going to risk it. They're not going to push them. So, you know, unless they need that race. So pay attention also to the playoff race. Who's in contention? Where do games matter? Remember, out-of-conference games don't matter as much as in-conference games, which is part of the reason why Ty Lue felt comfortable punting that game against the Clippers. You know, I think, so here's a theory. You ready for this? This is Ty Lue trolling the Western Conference. It's him basically doing, this is what he's doing. He's saying, I'm going to let the Clippers rest as well. We are not going to extend ourselves in a competitive game against the Clippers because we know we'll battle with them. We know we're going to run with them. We know when we're going to push ourselves. So we're not even going to try. We're not even going to pretend like we're going to be competitive. We're going to punt this game. We're going to let the Clippers have the win, and we're going to let the rest of the Western Conference continue to battle here. You know, and you had Golden State in action in a game that they really couldn't afford to punt. You had Utah in action in a game they couldn't afford to punt. You know, I don't know. That's a little bit of a deep theory, but maybe. You know, basically saying, let's let the rest of these guys battle up. And then he knows he's got Washington and Boston today. You know, hey, we take one game and one of those guys is going to take an L in this Washington-Boston game. We know we can get the Lakers game easy without extending ourselves too much. It's not nearly as physical, challenging a matchup as the Clippers game. So we rest on the first half of a back-to-back. We go out, we win the Clippers game, and then we let Boston and Washington battle, and one of those guys takes an L and drops further down in the standings. It's just it's a chess match, you know? But right now in that, like, the middle tier of the Western Conference, for example, that, like, battle between 4, 5, 6, and then even 7, it's heating up, man. Nobody wants to play. You don't want to play the Rockets in the first round. You don't want to play the Spurs in the first round. So you want to be in that 4-5 spot where you have, you know, right now it's the Clippers and the Jazz, but the Thunder are right there on their heels. And then even the Grizzlies are right there on the heels of the Thunder. So you better believe that those teams are not taking their wins and losses lightly because they want to be in a matchup. They would all rather play each other than they would play the Spurs or the Rockets. And it's something to think about because you can't think, you know, they can't some teams can't afford to punt games. Some teams can't afford to start punting games, you know? So anyway, that's the kind of strategic thing we're thinking about with these playoff teams, these studs in, and whether or not they're in competitive matchups. You know, tonight, for example, Washington and Boston, nope, they're both, everybody's playing, man. IT is playing. Everybody is going to play. Neither team can afford, not to try to get that two seed in this down the stretch here. So, speaking of that game, let's go ahead and jump into the spreads tonight. All right, first game of the night, Atlanta at Charlotte. 203 total here. Charlotte favored by 5 at home. Interesting that they're favored by 5. Atlanta's playing much better than them. But injury news in this one, Paul Millsap just declared out, interestingly enough. Paul Millsap out tonight, and as well as Kent Bazemore. So we have two really nice value options who are proven fantasy commodities that are going to be in play here. We have Tim Hardaway Jr. and Ersan Ilyasova both getting the start. So really, really nice options there. You know, on the Charlotte side of the ball, no injuries to consider here. Not really worried about anything on the Charlotte side of the ball. Normal rotation. Really low total in this game compared to some of the other totals on the slate. So not my favorite game, but gosh, you gotta love Hardaway and you gotta love Ersan Ilyasova at those prices that they're at, getting a lot of good minutes against two of the positions that are actually susceptible against Charlotte, you know, the wing and the power forward, two of the spots where you do like to attack Charlotte. So, definitely interested in those guys. Philly at Orlando. This is quietly one of my favorite games on the slate. Two teams that have a pretty good history of producing fantasy value against each other. Philadelphia playing, you know, they're kind of like Brooklyn. Like, they bring out the best in fantasy production in people because they don't go away. It's hard to blow them out, really. 214 total here. Orlando favored by 4 or 5 at home. The injuries are just insane on the Philadelphia side. Of course, adding on Jahlil Okafor now out, you know. So basically in the front court, you've got Sean Long, who's this like 10-day contract guy that they have in Philly. Rashawn Holmes and Dario Saric. So fire up your Rashawn Holmes, friend of the podcast. And then on the Orlando side, it'll be interesting. Vooch sat out of practice yesterday, but God, it'd be really nice to get some Vooch here. Vooch has like a huge advantage in this matchup history. So, some really nice options in this game for sure. One of my favorite games on the slate. Utah at Indiana, 193 total here. Utah only favored by 2. We are keeping an eye on the Utah news. We got Rodney Hood and Derek Favors both dealing with knees. I got to think that this is, two things, okay? On the one side, Utah wants a win, okay? Because Clippers have New York tonight. That's an easy win for them. And OKC has Golden State at home. Not an easy win by any stretch, but you don't want to lose and have OKC take a nice win against the Warriors, you know what I mean? That's just kind of a big swing there for them. So Utah dealing with Favors and Hood, I don't know if they're going to play. Utah playing well without them anyway, and if we don't get Favors and Hood, then you have to look at Ingles and you have to look at Joe Johnson for sure, as well as, I think, Rudy Gobert and George Hill. We're going to talk about George Hill later. Washington at Boston. Woohoo! Yeah, let's go. Second place and third place at stake here. Washington, you know, on the heels here, two games back from Boston right now. 216 total in this one. This would be the game that sets them just about even. This would be it if Washington can take this one on Boston. Now, the reverse happens. If Boston gets this W, then you have some you have Boston now a real firm lead on Washington, almost 3 full games. So, Isaiah Thomas is going to play. It's no question in my mind he's going to play. He sat out with a sore knee, but I think part of that was that they wanted him fully rested. you know, pretty reasonable schedule over the weekend for Boston. They had Brooklyn, and then they had who was it? Philly. They had Philly. Very reasonable schedule. So they that was strategic by them to get Thomas some rest for that sore knee coming into this game where they really need him. On the Washington side, we're keeping an eye on Markieff Morris. Of course, we had the Jason Smith sweepstakes over the weekend, which I missed on Friday, but Saturday he was helpful. He's ill, he's sick, so we got a game-time tag for Markieff in this one. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him play, though. Denver at Houston, 236 total in this one, a rematch of the Saturday night showdown. Houston favored by 9. Whoo, juicy, 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 juicy for fantasy purposes. Keeping an eye on Wilson Chandler and Danilo Gallinari here. That would kind of really take away some of that Denver value that we were chasing in Wancho and Will Barton, even though Will Barton totally shit the bed on Saturday night. Thanks a lot, Will. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it, pal. Went for like 1 for 7 from behind the arc. Man, no injuries on the Houston side. So, you know, Houston playing well. Golden State at OKC, 222 total here. Golden State only favored by 1. Hashtag narrative street. It's just all, I mean, this is just like, I'm rooting for the Thunder now. I don't mind the Warriors. I'm not like a Warriors hater like a lot of people are in the NBA world. Like, I just don't care that much. I think they're talented players who have a desire to win. But I don't know if you guys saw this whole thing about the Warriors front office saying that they felt like it was inappropriate that OKC didn't do a welcome back for Kevin Durant. Who the fuck are you? What? Like, give me a break. He barely said goodbye. Those fans don't need to sit there and clap for him so he feels welcome. This is competitive. This is basketball, man. They're allowed to say, okay, you left. Fine. Do your thing. We're going to continue to root for our Thunder. Give me a break. The front office gets involved? If KD wants to say that under his breath at a press conference, fine. But the front office doesn't have to say anything. Stay out of it. Who do you think you are? Who are you, God's gift to basketball? Let's go, Thunder. Let's go, Russ. Thunder up, baby. You know, I mean, seriously. And then the whole thing where they, you know, I mean, this is the media stirring the pot too, right? They ask Steph, who do you think should be the MVP? And he says, well, I think it should be James Harden. And then they go right back to Russ and they're like, he said he thinks it should be James Harden. And Russ goes, who is he? He doesn't matter. I don't care, which is amazing. This is what I love from Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is an animal. This is why people like him, man. Loyalty matters with Russell Westbrook. And, you know, I mean, he's a head case, but okay. New York at L.A., okay, Clippers should have a nice, easy win here. L.A., the Clippers favored by 10. You know, maybe Carmelo's going to be condo shopping out there. I hope Carmelo goes to the Clippers next year, man. Come on, give it one more year. Just get Carmelo out there on a one-year deal. Get him out there. Get him a couple bucks to play alongside CP3. You know, one more shot for the Clippers here because it's kind of not working. You know, they're not going to go to the Western Conference Finals this year. But anyway, that would be fun. Right? Maybe Carmelo's shopping out there. But anyway, you got a 217 total here, like I said. Clippers favored by 10. Kristaps may be out in this one. You got to kind of hope he plays. It helps the fantasy value on both sides if he does play. I just don't think the Knicks will really even have a close to a chance if Kristaps doesn't play. But he's got that thigh bruise. Hey, I wouldn't be surprised if he suits up. He's had a couple good days of rest. So we will keep an eye. I'm not going to start him by any means. But I think what it affects is whether or not you're interested in Blake, whether or not you're interested in DeAndre and Chris Paul, because then you got to think about blowout factor. And Chris Paul is definitely someone that Doc keeps an eye on for minutes because they're just so deep at point guard. They can run Rivers or Felton or whatever out there and feel comfortable with the rest of their offense. They really are. You know, Blake and DeAndre can handle a couple minutes with those guys and play well. They don't have to push Chris Paul, who's, you know, on the wrong side of 30. So that's what we got, man. Some really competitive, juicy games. You know, I think that the obvious ones are obviously Houston, Denver, massive pace, massive total. You want some shares of that. Golden State, OKC, massively competitive, going to come down to the wire. But, you know, I also really like the late game, the Clippers and New York game. And I really, really actually like the Philadelphia Orlando game. There's a lot of value there. There's a lot of really good matchups, you know. So this is a really great slate. Really, really interesting. Lineup construction is just going to be so not challenging, but interesting today for sure. Really, really interesting. Okay, so let's go on to the player breakdown because we got a lot to talk about. So let's figure out who we love tonight. Who do you love? All right, well, we're going to sort through the studs here, and there are a lot of studs on this slate, to be honest with you. It's really, really, really deep. As far as 10K plus players who are in good spots, or excuse me, 8-5 or whatever you want to, you know, Josh and I, Josh jokes with me sometimes. He's like, what qualifies as a stud? And it's just kind of like expensive guys, Josh. I don't know. I've changed the rules a lot. Right. So studs at the top here at point guard, it's really deep. Okay. Russ, Steph, John Wall, Chris Paul, Isaiah Thomas, all in play. Five high-quality point guards in tough matchups that are competitive games where they should be able to play well and get full minutes and full usage. So you like all of that, right? Really, really deep. But I think you have to consider Russell Westbrook. Even though he is 13-4, this is a crazy, crazy price. Here's why. Their implied team total for 109... one of the higher ones on the slate, highest pace game on the slate, or one of the higher pace games on the slate. He's averaged 62 fantasy points in the last five games, and he averages 61 at home. He's plus six in his home road splits. Okay? The Thunder are on a five-game winning streak right now. They're moving up. They're chasing the Clippers. They're only a couple games out from that five spot. All right? The price is restrictive. But I think that here's what we have to think about with Russ, okay? First of all, we know he has another level, right? We know that their team defense in Golden State is very good, but we know he has another level. He's averaged 56 points against Golden State in three games. Kevin Durant in each of those. The team defense for the Warriors is not the same without Kevin Durant. They played very well in the last two games, get the Magic and the Bucks. Good, you get a trophy. They struggled against the 76ers. They got beat by the Wolves on the road, and that skid that they had was because they're on the road. They're not as good on the road as they are at home. So I don't really see a problem with the Warriors' defense here, you know, for Russ with the Warriors' defense, okay? I think it comes down to lineup construction. If you're building with Russ, then you kind of only have one stud to build with. That's what you're doing. You're saying, I'm just tying myself to the one stud here. He's the most expensive guy on the slate, and then you have to basically build out good guys in the rest of your... You're not going with a two-stud approach if you get Russ in there. It's just a little too aggressive. And there's a value here, but guys, remember, I always talk about build with a floor in mind. It's so attractive to be like, I want to get Russ in Harden. Well, you can't. You can't. You can't have it all, guys, okay? You can't have it all. So show some fucking discipline. Russ though, I love Russ. I don't want to be on the wrong side of Russ going ham against Steph Curry going, who is he? So I'm into it. Let's thunder up, baby. I don't know. I think the most legitimate pivot is John Wall at 10-2. And you know, Chris Paul and Isaiah Thomas are priced extremely well. They just haven't really flashed ceiling lately. You know, Avery Bradley back in the lineup has taken some of the scoring responsibility away from Isaiah Thomas, and Chris Paul may be in a not very competitive game. And like we said, if he's not in a competitive game and Blake and DeAndre have a great front court matchup, he's not going to exert himself. He's really not. He knows how to facilitate and play well. And that's just, this isn't what he needs. He needed to go off in that Utah game. So they got that game. You know, and he was the only guy on the court in that Denver game. Those are the two games where he's hit value in the last couple. And this, I just don't see him needing to go off. So Chris Paul's a little risky to me, but a really nice late hammer option in GPP formats. But John Wall at 10-5, I believe it is. You know, he's going to Boston. He has had a pretty good history against them this year. playing really well. I think he's a nice GPP pivot. You know, I'm not going to play Steph on the road right now. He's 40 points and he's just priced too high. I just don't know why FanDuel won't reprice him. Maybe they're Warriors fans. All right, it's shooting guard. It's James Harden at 12-2. Harden is very much in play, just as much as Russ. People are, you know, the price is so restrictive. He's so expensive at that Denver game. Well, guess what? He's worth it, man. He's worth it. He's James Harden. He's back in good form. I have no problem with him. You know, I think it comes down to the way you build your lineups. I think that there's two things that you have to do here. I think you have to try to build your lineup once with Russ, and you have to try to build your lineup once with Harden. Now, I think that they're both in the same boat. You don't start two of them. You start one of them. But you do have a little bit more flexibility with Harden because you have $1,200 in salary relief. So, you know, I don't know. I heard some whispers on Twitter the other day that there's a rest concern for Harden. Some guys were talking, and I thought that was a good take. It was interesting because they were right. They're locked into that three seed. It's absolutely legitimate that we may see some reduced usage for James Harden, but I looked into it. Okay. A couple of things. One is it's not his style. They've asked him about it in January. He said, do you rest? You know, do you want to rest down the stretch? He said, no, I'm 27 years old. I'm living the dream. I'm healthy. If I'm healthy, I'm going to play. It's about leadership. It's about chemistry with my team. Oh, that's reassuring. D'Antoni has also been asked about it. D'Antoni said publicly that he thinks that the resting stars issue is a thing. It hurts the game. So, you know, I think between D'Antoni and Harden, they're going to say, no, we don't need to rest. We're okay. He hasn't gotten less than 36 minutes in the last five games. You know, the question is does he outscore Russ? Oh. Does he hit a higher point per dollar value than Russell Westbrook? At 12-2, he needs 62 points to hit value. 62 points to hit value. Okay. Very, very feasible number for James Harden against Denver. No question. And at 13-4, Russ needs 67 points to hit value. It's a 5-point swing. So if you're saying they both have a 60-point floor, who do you prefer? You know? I don't have a problem with either of them, to be completely honest with you. And honestly, Denver's defense is not as good as Golden State's defense. I just love Russ at home, you know? So it's kind of personal preference. It's who, you know, it's going to come down to gut. I got to be honest. Or it's going to come down to lineup construction. If you build your lineup around Russ and you like, if you like it, then stick with it. If you build your lineup around Harden and you like it, then stick with it. Okay. So I don't know. You know, that's what it is. I think the pivot, it's down to Beal, Bradley Beal. He's going to go overlooked and underowned. He's got a great matchup history against Boston, but a lot of those matchups were with no Avery Bradley. Against Avery Bradley, it's a tougher matchup. It's a much tougher matchup, and Bradley's defense is there right now. And you better believe he's going to stick with Bradley Beal like an animal. That price is just kind of a little bit too much for Brad Beal right now. I prefer Brad Beal in the sevens, and 8-1 is a big price tag for a guy who's going to get Avery Bradley defense in his shorts. All right, small forward, it's Carmelo. 7-9. He's a GPP only play for me, guys. He's going to come low owned, which is nice. He's just overpriced, and it's not a great matchup. Yes, you attack the Clippers at the small forward. Yes, Carmelo has decent matchup history with the Clippers, but he's not exerting himself right now. The Knicks are just terrible. He has nothing to fight for, and his price is too high. I just don't really see a reason to pay for Carmelo in this situation. There's a lot of good options in this price range. You know, we talk about relative cost value. If you're paying 7-9, go get Dario Saric. Go get Rudy Gobert. Excellent matchups. Excellent matchups. Excellent usage. Way more consistent. You know, go, geez, if you're paying that much, get a, you know, go up to even a Chris Paul. I'd much rather have Chris Paul on the other side of the ball than Carmelo right now. You know, it could work out for you. It could work out for you, but I think it's GPP only, and I think it's a little bit risky. I think it's maybe part of like a balanced lineup approach that's a kind of a low owned where you're fading Russ and Harden, and you're trying to get a bunch of other guys who could, you know, in the 8Ks, which I don't love tonight. I do prefer a single stud approach, but You know, I don't think you need him. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not paying for Carmelo tonight. At power forward, it's Nikola Jokic at 10-5. We need to talk about what happened on Saturday night. Okay, Jokic is in like a dream spot. No Gallo, no Wilson Chandler, at home, priced well, worst center defense in the league, highest total on the slate. Give me all the Jokic. Two fouls in the first 5 minutes of the first quarter. Gets back into the second quarter with 8 minutes to go. Foul. 4 minutes left in the second quarter. Goes second half. Fine. He's not going to play anymore in the first half. God, he's got like, 13 fantasy points going into halftime? Mason Plumlee's got 20? Ugh. Okay, fine. Goes into the second. Fourth foul, like 5 minutes into the second quarter. He scores like 4 fantasy points, and then he goes back to the bench. They put him back in at the top of the fourth quarter. Fifth foul. Sits down until the fourth minute. Comes in with the last 4 minutes to go, scores 12 fantasy points in 4 minutes. He only played 27 minutes, guys. He was supposed to play at least, and they were all abbreviated minutes. There was no quality run. They had kept taking him out because of the foul trouble. So it was a real problem. So don't look at that matchup history and go, he didn't play well against them. He didn't play well because he kept getting in foul trouble. You got to believe that they're going to figure out how to try to keep him out of foul trouble, try to get this win here. Joker's in a great spot, okay? Let's not get it twisted, okay? And here's the even better news. Just looked at my phone. Danilo Gallinari, ruled out Monday. Wilson Chandler, ruled out Monday. Here's the bad news. My sister-in-law, who knows nothing about basketball, is in first place in the family March Madness bracket. What the hell? How does that happen? God. And by the way, your sister-in-law is in first place too. The girl who has no idea what she's doing. She's in first place as well. It's unbelievable, dude. Anyway, so we go back to the Joker. No question. He's going to have the second worst defensive center on the slate. He should be able to stay on the floor the whole time. Competitive game, 236-point total. They're going to need full minutes from him. No Gallo, no Chandler. You know, which we know, without them, it's 1.6 fantasy points per minute. Okay? That's unbelievable. It's a massive plus matchup here. 50 is not out of the question. You know, I think the difficulty is that from a roster construction standpoint, there's two things. There's two incredibly good values at power forward today that are really hard to fade because they're priced. We know what they're capable of. They're priced well. They're in good matchups, and we know what they're capable of. So you really, really are going to be in a difficult position if you choose to go with them over, and I'm talking about Rashawn Holmes and Ersan Ilyasova. You're going to be in a difficult position if you choose to fade them because they're going to probably exceed value. But I don't think Joker is out of the question here. I love him in this, you know, GPP for sure. Give me some Joker shares, no question. I think the interesting possibility is here is maybe if you go with Joker, and I know I'm talking about a lot about lineup construction, but it's really challenging on this slate. If you go with Joker here, maybe you also go with like John Wall. You know, another 10K. You kind of do the two 10K studs thing. You know, you do like, or maybe you do two or three 8Kers, right? Maybe you do like John Wall, you know, you do Jokic, and then you do like Isaiah Thomas and, you know, who's priced pretty well, actually. Isaiah Thomas and Chris Paul. It's up to you. You know, it's like, those are interesting and viable lineups of guys with floor and ceiling. So, you know, Jokic is in a really good spot. You just have really good value of power forward in two different places. But they will be highly owned. People will be on both of those guys. So it's interesting. I think that we have to think about a guy who's going to get the team that allows, you know, the highest points and rebounds to centers on the slate, who we know has 50 to 60 point upside. No question. All right. Going down to center, though, we're talking about 50 point upside. We're talking about the Vooch Monster. Vooch Monster is, I know it's not a very catchy nickname, but I think it works really well. He's a double-double machine. He's getting the worst center defense in the league. Give me that. Vooch, he had 18 and 18 against Phoenix last game, 40-plus points. Alan Williams, he's actually respectable physically, like compared to the Philly. The problem here is actually that Rashawn Holmes will be starting. We wish Jahlil Okafor was starting. Okafor with the sore knee left yesterday's game. He's probably going to sit. He's negative 1.27 defensive real plus minus. That's pretty bad. But and listen to the actual statistics for Philly. When Okafor is on the court, opponent rebounding rate goes up by 3%. Their block rate goes up by 2%. The opponent offensive rate goes up by 5%. Yikes. When Okafor is off the court and Holmes is on the court, you basically flip those numbers. The defense is significantly improved. So Holmes is definitely the better defensive center, but he's not so good that Vooch can't go to work. You just wish we had Jahlil Okafor to pick on. It's still a great matchup. He's averaged 42 against them this year in five games. That's nice. Three games. He's played him three times. He averaged 42. I think one of those he had 50. Vooch is in a great spot. But that price point, that 7K price point, save some money to pay for your center tonight because they're nice. There's some really nice ones there. All right, point guard, Dennis Schroeder, baby. 7-2. We're in the mid-tier now. Grout, fantasy Grout, filling in around the studs. Dennis Schroeder at 7-2, not in a bad option here. Schroeder has been struggling lately, but he's gotten over 30 minutes in the last couple of games. He hasn't gotten over 30 fantasy points in the last couple of games. We know the minutes are there. No Bazemore, no Millsap in the lineup makes this a little bit more interesting. He's going to be over 1.1 fantasy points per minute. Okay, I'm not scared of Kemba's point guard defense. It's not a thing. Charlotte allows tons of peripherals to the guards. They allow the three-pointer. He doesn't have a perfect matchup history with them. He's only scored 21 in two matchups here, but you still like his lower ownership. And we know that Schroeder comes with 40-point upside. You know, the problem is the pace and the total of this one is pretty low. I prefer Schroeder in a pace-up game where he gets to kind of run and push the floor and transition. That's when he really kind of gets sneaky and he slides in there to the rim. So, you know, he's not perfect, but he will come with lower ownership. I guarantee he'll only be owned at about 15, 16% tonight, especially with Elf right there. Elf at 7-3 in Philadelphia. It's a really nice matchup as well. And Elf, you know, I think Elf has good matchup history with Orlando as well, you know, with Philly. You know, not quite the same as Vooch, but we know we got a guy who, again, at that price point has 40-point upside. And those are... You know, I'm always interested. Here's one way I think about pricing of players. I'm always interested in a 5K player who can go for 30, a 6K player who I know can exceed 35, and a 7K player who I know can go for 40. Right? I mean, I know that seems simple, but like that's what you have in Schroeder and Alfred Payton. And Payton is really interesting as well. Doesn't have a great matchup history with the 76ers. Has put up a couple duds. But he, you know, he's been playing extremely well. He's been stuffing the stat sheet, as we word, as Fern would say, stuffing the stat sheet and stacking the studs, as Fern would say. So I don't mind Elf here in this spot. And I don't mind Schroeder. They're not my favorite. I don't think you force them in at all. But if they fall to you and you're like, I like the rest of my lineup, well, take one of them. Why not? The other one, though, is George Hill at 6-1. I think he has the same range of outcomes as these guys, to be completely honest with you, the way he's playing. We got no Derek Favors tonight, so we're probably going to get and we might have no Rodney Hood. I don't see why they force Rodney Hood out there with the fragility of that knee, but I don't know. We'll see. George Hill has this amazing homecoming narrative, though. He's an Indiana native, Indianapolis native. He's back home in Indiana. He had 45 against them earlier this year. That's 9X. Yikes. Hill's takeover mode. He has this takeover mode. Like, he has a mode where he's like, oh, I don't care. And then he has a mode where he's like, okay, I'm a good NBA point guard and I can go ham. He did in the first half against Chicago, and then he didn't do anything in the second half, which is, I was like, oh, George Hill, yes. Didn't do anything in the second half. I had two point guards who went bananas in the first half this weekend and then didn't do anything in the second half. Elf on Friday and Hill on Saturday. Ugh. Teague is not an elite point guard defender, I have to be honest with you. Given his price and his upside, I think George Hill comes to 5X no problem in this matchup. And it's just nice to have a 6K player on this slate that you really, really can trust to get you 30 points in this spot. He's got a 26% usage rate and 0.97 fantasy points per minute with no Hood or Favors on the floor. 30 minutes, 30 points, guys. I mean, there it is, right? 5X seems super reasonable, and you add the upside of the narrative factor. Boom, baby. Let's go down to shooting guard, though. Gary Harris, Evan Fournier, Tim Hardaway Jr., all in play. I will talk about Beal and Clay and Depot, don't get me wrong. But I got to talk about some cheaper guys because I think they're in just as good a position. Pretty loaded tier, to be honest with you. Gary is going to do Gary things, okay? No Chandler, no Gallo. We actually open up Will Barton as well now that we have no Chandler and no Gallo. Wow, I just didn't even realize that. That was amazing. I just came to that conclusion myself. 5'8", Will Barton, price drop. Don't worry, Will Barton still got it, bro. although Trevor Ariza may be a problem for him, which is part of the reason why he struggled. But he didn't hit threes. He took 7 or 8 threes. He only hit one of them, you know? Anyway, Gary's going to do Gary things, though, at 6K. You know what he's going to do. He's going to do 15, 5, and 5. Boom. 5X there. Pace up at Houston. It doesn't change. It doesn't change anything for him. He's just so consistent. He's such an easy investment. You know what you're going to get. You don't have to be worried about it. But I think you can go down to the next couple guys. You can go THJ at 5'6". I love Tim Hardaway Jr. against Charlotte. They struggle in the three-point line. He's getting a ton of minutes back with Mo Bazemore. He'll get usage bump with no Millsap. They're going to rely on him for scoring. No question in my mind. It's a really nice price in a spot that he needs to produce against Charlotte. They struggle with three-point shooters. We know that. They allow some of the most attempts per game, and he's averaged 27 in the last 5 and 10 games. Those are only 28 minutes. If you figure he's going to get 32 minutes here, 30 points at 5'6" seems like it's a really nice just plus 5X value there. So Evan Fournier, though, you know, priced really well, 30-point upside. He went for 30 against Phoenix, and Phoenix is really pretty bad against the shooting guard. Well, as is Philadelphia, bottom 10 in the league to the shooting guard. He's averaged 33 against them in 2 games this year. So clearly he knows the matchup. He has a matchup advantage there. At 5'4", you just really don't have to worry about a guy. 5'4 is just such a nice price. You know, we know he has 25, probably. He's going to get 30 minutes, 25-point floor. 5'4 is a really solid price. So let's talk a little bit, though, about Beal, Clay, and Oladipo, because I think people are going to want to know, what do you think here? Beal at 8'1 is just a lot. 40 points from Bradley Beal against Avery Bradley is a big deal. That's a lot. That's a lot of points, guys, against Avery Bradley. He's one of the best wing defenders in the league. Clay, 7-1 on the road. I prefer Clay at home, and I prefer Clay when he's not getting Victor Oladipo. Clay doesn't have a great history against Victor Oladipo this year. Kevin Durant has the best history against the Warriors this year as far as fantasy points. He's not playing. And obviously, Clay's going to take more shots, but he just really doesn't play that well against the Warriors. And I think Oladipo, yeah, good price. But I mean, if you have Gary Harris right there in an even more plus matchup, why wouldn't you just go to Gary Harris? You know, Depot just doesn't have the upside that in the, well, the consistency, you know, you could get 36 points from Oladipo, but it's just, it's not as likely as you're going to get 25 maybe, you know, against Klay Thompson. I just don't know if you need Oladipo in this spot. I think, you know, it's him versus Gary Harris. Let the tiebreaker be the fact that there's no one compete with Gary Harris's usage. Gary Harris is in the highest pace, highest total in the game. Fine. Or Will Barton. Okay. So I don't know. It's hard to predict. But I for those higher priced guys. But I think it's very easy to predict THJ. It's very easy to predict Gary Harris and Will Barton in this spot. You know, no question that those are good, well-priced guys. At small forward, though, Bob Covington at 7-1 and Otto Porter at 6-2, both in really good positions here. You know, Bob's been in action lately, full tilt, because, you know, they're so thin in Philadelphia. He's playing well. He's going to get full minutes. He's averaging 0.9 FanDuel points per minute without Okafor on the court. He's averaged 32 in the last 5 games. He has a 25-point floor with those minutes, guys. He does it all. 35-point upside. I don't know if he's my favorite use of 7K on the slate, to be honest with you. I'd almost rather figure out a way to, you know, like I said, get that center in there that gave me some Rudy Gobert, DeAndre Jordan, maybe Vooch. That's kind of where I want to put that money. So I'm not sure. But you know, he is in a good spot. He definitely is in a good spot to do 5x for you against Orlando, who really isn't much of, you know, they don't very really defend shooting guards all that well, or excuse me, small forwards all that well. Otto Porter, though, at 6'2", is a really interesting option, just in a really good price point for Otto Porter. Plenty of run tonight against the Celtics. He hasn't been doing a ton lately, but he did hit 33, which is where you want him. He did hit 33 against Dallas the other night. You know, we know he's going to get 36 minutes. We know he has a ton of upside. He has 35, 36 point upside, no question. He's averaged 39 against the Celtics this year in three games. So clearly there's something about Porter's matchup with the Celtics that he likes. You know, and we know that Beal is going to get Bradley. That means just Porter's going to get, you know, unless of course they go, okay, here's an interesting thought, right? It's Thomas on Wall, Smart on Beal, Bradley on Porter. But I would think that they want to lock down Beal. If, I don't know, maybe they'll run a couple of switches. He's priced well. I think that's the thing you like about Porter in this spot, is he's priced well. And there's not a ton that you love at small forward in this price tier. So, you know, I'm not worried about Boston as a matchup. Also, by the way, from a DVP perspective, they're dead middle. They're just like Charlotte. They're just like the Clippers. They're just like the Blazers. It's not really anything to be scared of necessarily. I just think it's nice exposure to this game. If you want exposure to what is a really competitive game, someone who's a starter, who's going to get tons of minutes, who has upside, Otto Porter is your guy. He does have that. Now, it's very possible that Otto Porter goes for 24. It's very possible. You know, that's his range of outcomes is basically 24 to 36, which is fine. Good floor. But, you know, do you want to pay 6'2 for a floor like that? I don't know. I don't know. So, you know, I think the pivot options are pretty thin, though, in the middle here. You know, you can go down to that kind of 5K range where you've got Iggy and Ariza. You can go all the way down to some of the value guys, which I prefer. You know, I just don't know. We'll keep an eye on it. So a power forward, get some really interesting options here, though. Okay, so obviously Draymond is in a good spot because he just extra usage, competitive game. But Draymond does not have a good history against the Thunder. Only 33 points in two games this year. I don't necessarily his range of outcomes is anywhere between 30 and 60 points these days. You know he's going to get full minutes. You know it's going to be a competitive game. It's just a question of what he's going to do with them. You know, I personally, for that money, for that 8K, go down to Super Dario. He's the GOAT. Friend of the podcast, Super Dario. We know this. Tons of minutes. No Okafor. High scoring, highest usage player on the court for the 76ers. He can easily go for 40 against this team. They're bottom 10 in DVP to the position. They allowed 62 points to the power forward in the last two games. Marquese Chris had 30 against them. Come on now. All right, he had 41 against Orlando in 27 minutes. He's had 45 twice in the last five games against Golden State, no less. He's very good at basketball. So, you know, you compare that spending to a guy like Blake or Draymond, yeah, you have the name value, but there's the upside of consistency with Dario is just so there. I love him. He's just a safer cash option. He's the number one option on the 76ers. So, you know, I love it. He's a great cash option here at 7'9". You know, I think you can go down to Aaron Gordon too. He's pretty much the next best thing that I like in power forward. I don't love the next tier of power forwards. I'd rather go down value. You know, you're in that 8K range or you're down in the value range. I continue to see him. You know, he's reasonably priced. We know Philadelphia doesn't rebound. We're not going to have, you know, a lot of problems with that. But I don't necessarily see any need for him when you're going to have guys like Rashawn Holmes and Ersan Ilyasova just $1,000 less with the same range of outcomes, more or less, 25 point plus upside. I don't know. Gordon's fine, but I don't think I'm going to force him in there. I don't think you have to have him. Okay, at center, we got two really nice options down here. Rudy Gobert at 7'9", and DeAndre at 7'6". I realize that that's not exactly exactly in the mid-tier, but these guys are just, I'm telling you guys, this is where you want to pay. You want to pay between DeAndre and Vooch for your center tonight. And because they all have really safe floors, excellent matchups, and really, really nice possible outcomes. So, anyway, let's look at this. Okay. Gobert is getting Indiana, no favors. Wow. Okay. Favors. He's without favors. He's been averaging 38 points. He's priced exactly right there. 38 points at 7-9, but we know he has 50 point upside. He just did it against Chicago, who from a DVP perspective is actually better against the center than Indiana. Indiana, guess what? Averaging, they are bottom 10 in DVP. Okay. They're the same as Orlando, as Charlotte, as New Orleans, as Miami. They're giving up 56 fantasy points in the last five, 53 in the last 10. Gobert is an animal, and he always comes lower owned than everybody else. Rudy Gobert, FTW. Love Rudy Gobert. Now, I also love DeAndre Jordan as a late hammer here. I think, though, DeAndre is a little more risky, and I think that the thing you have with DeAndre, the thing you like about DeAndre is he's a late hammer and he never goes over, you know, ownership never is really above 20%. Although tonight he may be, because everybody knows the Knicks are bad, right? And he's priced really well. He's a great late hammer. He's got the Knicks at home. He's plus five at the Knicks at home this year. The Knicks are bottom 10 in DVP to the center in the league, and he had 49 against them earlier in this year. Now, cautious there. Blake and CP3 were out. That was in the beginning of January where both of those guys were out. So don't go going, oh my gosh, DeAndre's going to score 50. No, DeAndre could score 40. But so could Gobert and so could Vooch. So, I mean, any one of those guys is absolutely in play, no question. I think you like him because of the timing. If you want exposure to that late game, then I think DeAndre maybe gets a little bit of the tiebreaker bump there. But the other thing they have to remember about DeAndre is he has a much lower floor than Gobert does. And he has a much lower floor than Vooch does. Okay? But, you know, you like the matchup just as much as you like the matchup for the other two. So, definitely in play there. Now, if you want to go spend down at center, I think you probably go with Mason Plumlee or Clint Capella in that matchup there, face-to-face. It's just they're priced well. Their production and their minutes are really safe. I think you could easily see 30 for both of them. Capella went back out. You know, he bounced back. He had 29 points against Denver. Everybody played him against New Orleans, which I don't really know why we played him against New Orleans on Friday night. But he bounced back against Denver. 24 minutes, he had 29 fantasy points. He's just a really good 6X option. Honestly, it's a really good cash game play, especially at home here in this matchup. And Plumlee, you know, he's been just unbelievably, unbelievably good. Over 30 points in all of his last four games, and FanDuel just hasn't priced him up yet. He's still 6-1. It's just a great option. So if you need that savings, you want to spend up somewhere else, boom, take it. I just really like those three guys at that price point, DeAndre, Rudy, and Vooch, all in a really nice spot. You want to be really contrarian? Let me give you one really contrarian play. Dwight. Charlotte's not that good against the center. No Millsap. Yeah, Dwight. Very contrarian. I don't think people are going to be on him, but he is in play. Don't force him in, but I think he had 40 last game without Millsap in. He just has to rebound. He's the only guy that can rebound out there. You know, and we know Dwight has 20 rebound upside. Charlotte, just the same against the center, more or less. Just the same against the center, more or less in the season as a team like Orlando or Indiana. You know, Indiana's trending in the wrong direction, while Charlotte's trending in the right direction with a Zeller back in the lineup. So Dwight is interesting. I think it's a good night to pay for centers, but, you know, hey, that's just me. Sometimes I like to pay for centers. Okay, let's dive into the bargain basement here, figure out where we can save some money at this spot, on this slate. At point guard, I think George Hill is really in a nice price point, but, you know, I think you could easily go down to, a guy like TJ McConnell. He's in a good matchup. I think we have to start to get off Pat Bev. He's so inconsistent. I wish I could play him, but I just really don't trust him. So I think, Jameer had a really nice game against Houston last time. kind of an outlier game. But I think Jameer is safe for 25 fantasy points in this one, no question. So maybe you start at Jameer, you look at TJ McConnell, and you can look at Jamal Murray as well. You know, he struggled a little bit in that game, and a lot of people were on him because they wanted savings. You know, but I mean, remember, he has to get extra run for him to really hit value, and he's pretty much getting 20 to 25 minutes on a regular basis. So, you know, I don't know how much Jamal Murray you need. So that's pretty much it. I think that's kind of where you stop. And then I guess if you want to get cute, you could go down to Sergio. You know, Fern made a note about this. Sergio getting extra run and extra minutes, I think, basically because they're so thin there. You know, he had 25 minutes in both of the last two games. You know, Sergio is not a bad point guard at 3'7". He's kind of a punt, but you know what? At least you know he's a punt who you know what you're going to get. So, something to think about. At shooting guard, though, of value options, I think you probably start. It's crazy to me that Eric Gordon is priced this low. But we just can't go back to him until he really shows more upside. So I think you go down to maybe a J.J. Redick, and Jamal Crawford. Jamal Crawford birthday narrative. I'm not sure if you heard that. Jamal Crawford birthday narrative. 3'7". Yikes. Interesting. Knicks at home? Interesting. Very interesting. But Jamal Crawford at 3'7" and J.J. Redick have obviously a great matchup there. Crawford getting a couple extra minutes lately, which is nice. He was losing some minutes for a while, and then he got some extra minutes. He did have 26 against them earlier this year. And it's his birthday. Did we mention that? Birthday narrative? Jamal Crawford? I don't know how much people... Some people buy it, some people don't. And then, of course, like Nick Stauskas. He's getting minutes because there's nobody else that can play there. You know, I mean, there's no one available. He's getting like 30 minutes. Here's the problem with Nick Stauskas. You ready for this range of outcomes? The last six games... 3.5 points against Portland, all the way up to 25 points against Boston. I don't get it, guys. I don't understand it. I don't know. So I'm not really sure why. I don't trust Nick Stauskas, to be honest with you. So again, you want to build a floor. You want to stay in the fight. Okay. So and besides that, at a small forward, a couple options here. Obviously the most well-known commodity that we have is the Jingle Bear. Jingle Bear is probably going to... He'll probably get the start. I don't think they're going to play Rodney Hood. If I'm the Jazz, I'm not forcing Rodney Hood out there. Okay? I'm not going to do it. Lance Thomas is in play if Porzingis sits, but he's not going to be in play if Porzingis doesn't sit. Okay? So Jingle Bear is in play. Matt Barnes, interestingly, getting some minutes. I put him in on Saturday night over Bojan. Worked out really well for me. He outscored Bojan and he outscored Joe Johnson, and that was all I needed him to do. Kind of gave me just a little bit of a boost over people at the end of the night. So Matt Barnes kind of sleepy in that spot. Terrence, I wish we could go back to Terrence Ross. He's got 30 point upside, you know, but even against Phoenix, he just doesn't do anything except for score. That's the problem with Terrence Ross. So we can't really go back there, but I think you have a couple other options. Okay. Taurean Prince getting a lot of run lately. Prince getting a lot of run. He's basically taking Thabo Sefolosha's job, and he probably plays better defense than Kent Bazemore. 29 minutes against Memphis, 31 minutes against Portland. He rebounds, he scores, he plays defense. Four and three blocks in those two games. He had 30 points. So, you know, don't play Thabo Sefolosha. Play Taurean Prince. You know, absolutely in play, no question. And a power forward, just two really, really rock solid options down here. And you know what you're going to get. And they are, now we also have Wancho at 3'7". Wancho had a really nice game against Houston. But remember, some of Wancho's minutes against Houston came because of foul trouble across the board for other guys, right? He did get 28 minutes, but remember, he is a scoring dependent kind of guy. So, but at 3-7, you know, 20 points, that's not crazy for Juancho Hernangómez. So you've got Juancho at 3-7, you've got Rashawn Holmes, and you've got Ersan Ilyasova. Those are really, really excellent spots. 4-8 and 4-5, they're going to get 30 minutes tonight, and we know that they can score 30 points. I mean, those guys are almost a total lock for me. So really good options on this slate. No questions asked. I really like them in this spot. And then at center, we talked a little bit about some of the value guys. You know, I think the lowest that you want to go on this slate, guys, to be honest with you, is the lowest that you want to go on this slate is probably Cody Zeller. Probably Cody Zeller. That's about the lowest that you want to go. Had a great night on Saturday night, 37 fantasy points. Washington struggling against the center, but I'm not going to chase Al Horford. Remember, Horford's production correlated with the fact that Thomas is out. No question. No question. Absolutely. Because it's nice. Horford can run the offense through him, and he gets extra usage and extra scoring. But I think the lowest that you want to go is Cody Zeller. You know, Steven Adams is a GPP dart. You know, I don't think you can attack Golden State in the front court. He gets all the minutes. But, you know, you could just get Clint Capella and you know exactly what he's going to do. 25 to 30 points. I think he's in a good spot as well. So that's where we're at for values at center. I don't really want to go down to a lot of these other guys. I don't really see a lot of minutes for any of them. Maybe Sean Long. You know, if we know Okafor is out, then I think we can kind of have a predictive range of outcomes for Sean Long. Maybe, you know. Not really, no. I take that back completely. I'm sorry. Again, we're stopping ourselves, full stop, unless, of course, we get Biombo because no Vooch. Then you go, yes, you go Biombo against Philly, and that's a great play. You stop yourself at Cody Zeller. All right, let's go over to lineup lock now. This is where I'm going to build you guys a cash core lineup. Hey, I'm not a lineup provider. This isn't your lineup. This isn't your starting lineup. This is to show you an idea of how lineup construction can work on this slate, and then you pivot, you make your changes, you do your own thing, okay? I very rarely stick with the whole show lineup. There's only some times where it seems perfect and I stick with it. There's some nights where to do that, but there's a lot of nights when I make pivots and changes, and I encourage you guys to do the same. This is the starting place, all right? So let's take a look at lineup luck. Okay, so I told you guys that I have a couple different ideas for ways that we're going to do this. And this is going to be the Russell Westbrook lineup, okay? This is going to be the Russell Westbrook lineup. So we're going to start with Westy. I'm also going to lock in Tim Hardaway Jr. I'm also going to lock in Rashawn Holmes. And I'm also going to lock in Ersan Ilyasova. Those feel like some of the best values on the slate right now. So I'm going to take those guys. Okay, now what I have to figure out is what do I want to do with the rest of my shooting guard, point guard, and center? Well, at small forward, I think that we can go with Otto, okay, because there's kind of not a lot of good options there. And then at shooting guard, we now have Will Barton in play against Houston. For sure. So we can go there, which is going to all. And then there's also value at shooting guard, or excuse me, at small forward in Joe Ingles, right? Or Taurean Prince. Okay. So let's say if we go with Taurean Prince, let's go with Joe Ingles. All right. Well, actually, no, sorry, we don't have to do that. We don't have to go with Joe Ingles right now. Let's do this, actually. I'm a little bit turned around because some of this news threw off what I was originally going to do with the lineup. Give me one quick, hot second, please. Okay. This is interesting. This is a starting point. It's not perfect right now, but here's one lineup, okay? George Hill, Russell Westbrook, Tim Hardaway, Will Barton, Taurean Prince, Joe Ingles, Dario, Rashawn Holmes, Nikola Vucevic. Okay, now the other thing, like I said, you can get Dario out of there and you can go down to Ersan Ilyasova, and then you could spend up at point guard or you could spend up at small forward. You know, there's a lot of value opening up here. Now, if you take all the value, basically, you know, then you have maybe an opportunity where you could get, you know, Russ and another, I don't think you could go with another 10K stud, but like another 8K stud at point guard, maybe one of these Isaiah Thomas or Chris Paul, if you wanted to. But Vooch is actually one of my favorite 8K plays on the slate right now. But let's try and do a quick lineup with Harden over Westy, and we'll see where we end up with this one. So this is pretty sexy as well and a really solid option. You end up with George Hill. You can get Chris Paul in there, Tim Hardaway Jr., James Harden, Otto Porter, Joe Ingles, Ersan Ilyasova, Rashawn Holmes, and Vooch. And that's really nice too. You know, having access to Chris Paul as a late hammer there is in a really, 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 really good spot. You know, it's seeming like small forward, and small forward is definitely the place to pay down here on this slate. And there's just so much good value at power forward that it's going to allow you to pay up at point guard, which, you know, there's depth at point guard. So you can definitely pay up for some of that depth at point guard. I think you have to be careful about which one you like the most. And I don't know beyond Westbrook how much I like, you know, I think if we try to figure out who has the best range of outcomes. I mean, Kemba has a great matchup against Schroeder. You know, I don't mind Kemba's matchup there at all. I think you just have to be careful because Kemba really hasn't shown a lot of flash since they're out of the playoff hunt. You know, he just really isn't playing very well. He's not being nearly as aggressive as he was when he thought maybe they could snag an eighth seed. You know, 25 and 12 points in the last two games. You know, he was on that tear when they had that early March tear when they had an opportunity to get in there. You know, the difference being is the advantage here is that, you know, Atlanta is one of the best matchups, and he's had, you know, 39 points against them once, 39 points against them twice this year. So, you know, we know that 40-point upside is very possible against Schroeder in this spot. So Kemba may be one of the better options for 40 because you feel like Chris Paul, Steph Curry, and John Wall all have 40 kind of written on them as a floor. They have more ceiling, but how much are you going to pay for that ceiling, to be honest? So that's an interesting spot as well for Kemba Walker to think about. But, yeah, man, I mean, good luck with lineup construction tonight, guys. You know, like I said, there's a Westy lineup, there's a Harden lineup, but, you know, you've got really nice value in players like Ersan and Rashawn Holmes and Jingles and Tim Hardaway and George Hill. Those are all really, really good guys who are going to be getting 30 minutes, who have 30, you know, 25-point floors given their role and their minutes. And so you feel like maybe you lock in those guys and you just kind of build out the other spots. And there's really nothing to spend on at small forward. So, yeah. That's where we're at. Good luck tonight, guys, in your contest. And hey, check out patreon.com/lineuplogic. That is where you can get access to the cheat sheet. $10 a month subscription. You get the cheat sheet via that link. For those of you who have already subscribed, the cheat sheet will be on Patreon. I will tweet out the Patreon link there, and you will have access to it via the Patreon page, and it'll be exactly the same as it was earlier this week, live with the updates, just like we've been doing it. So good luck tonight in your contest, and I will see you guys tomorrow.